There you go. That's the brilliant Dusty Springfield. Okay, joining me on the phone now is Councillor Christy Bourke. Good afternoon, Christy. How are you?
Good afternoon, Mark. How are you doing?
Not too bad at all, Christy. Thanks for joining us today on Near FM. Christy, as I've just been talking to a representative from Focus Ireland, and they welcomed the announcement last week of the first in, it's 153, I think, modular homes and the selection of the sites that they're going to be put on or whatever. Could you maybe take us through the process that led to the choosing of the sites and what was involved in picking these sites and why those were the areas that were chosen?
Well, first of all, I welcome the fact that temporary modular homes have been identified for to give people and to give families some dignity and to remove them from one rooms who are just spoken to a young girl and a child and her husband 10 minutes ago in one room in a B&B in the city centre for the last 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
So to take them out of that environment and put them into a home of dignity with a bit of comfort, temporary as it will be, and not the answer as it is to the homeless and housing crisis,
yeah,
it's a hell of a lot better than sitting in one rooms and hotels and cooped up in B&Bs. And for that, I commend and welcome them. How the sites were identified, Mark, that was decided upon by senior management of the housing department, led by Assistant City Manager Dick Brady.
Mm-hmm.
And the sites identified, as you know, and we all know by now, are north and south of communities of working class areas. And my understanding is from a lot of people that I've spoken to that a lot of people in those areas welcome the fact that these sites won't be left idle where antisocial or congregations can be used for antisocial behaviour.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in saying that, I would also like to see the next batch being identified. And I said this at the council meeting last week. I'd like to see RTE, who has ample grounds in Donnybrook, could be used. UCD in University College Dublin could be used, because at the end of the day, it's hoped when we're finished using modular homes for family that they can be used for student accommodation. So let's go and put them on the UCD site. Also, the Archbishop has been asked to look at lands in the Milltown area, belong to the Jesuits.
Uh-huh.
And church grounds. So I would hope that that process follows suit. But at the end of the day, that's how the process went in identifying the areas and the lands, Mark.
Yeah. And as you say, first and foremost, people shouldn't lose sight of the fact that this is an emergency measure. As you say, people living in hotels or one-bedroom B&Bs is not acceptable for anybody to be raising a family in modern-day Ireland under any circumstances. But as with all decisions, it has its detractors, and many of them have come out over the weekend. Straight away, people are saying, well, you know, why these areas? These are areas that we won't call underprivileged, but they're areas that would be considered lacking in services. Maybe the services aren't great. Maybe school teacher to pupil ratios are a bit higher and everything else. The areas, and just to name them, is Ballymun, Drimna, Coolock, Finglas and Ballyferma are the five areas. So there's been a lot of detractors over the weekend have come out with all those kind of arguments, which I suppose probably wasn't unexpected. How do you kind of answer that and you say to people who are making that argument, are they kind of losing sight of the bigger picture here and just maybe trying to score brownie points, or is a genuine concern they have?
Well, I'll answer that very quickly, Mark, because I come from working class areas, Hardwick Street, Flats and Ballybuck. And anybody that's criticising those areas, Mark, is running down those areas. And those areas are very, very, very good, solid communities with decent working class people and who are doing their best. And a lot of services are in place in a lot of days. We're inclined to knock lots of things.
Mm-hmm.
And at the meeting last Monday night, Mr. Brady and his officials assured us that the wraparound services and package was looked at in relation to schools, maybe counselling for trauma after being in a B&B for 12 or 18 months. Let me give you an example, Mark, mm-hmm, of a family I'm dealing with without breaking their anonymity.
Yep.
Husband, wife, three children in a B&B in Bray. Have to travel every morning to school in Donnymead.
Whoa.
Husband, wife and six, Nace Road hotel accommodation, travelled in to Stanhope Street School every morning with two daughters. Yeah. Husband, wife, one child, child going to have, child 1.5 years of age, going to have 2 hip operations next month, cooped up in one room in a B&B.
Yeah.
Now, can anybody stand over and tell me that the areas that we've identified are not good enough for people and that they're underprivileged? I came, if you want to call it that, areas. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, we were all decent people, and they are all decent people. I've no problem in equally identifying all sites in all areas in relation to modular homes.
Yeah.
Mark, we had this with the travellers who, unfortunately, 10 of them lost their lives, and my heart and sympathies went out with the rest of the world towards them. But when it came to housing them,
yeah.
you had, I've no problem with travellers, but...
NIMBYs.
NIMBYs.
Yeah.
Without the shadow of a doubt. So, you know, let's stop the hypocritical line and welcome... families into these areas and give them dignity and integrity. Remember this. I want to say this, Mark, because I'm the chairman of Inner City Help and Homeless.
Yeah.
We go out 5 nights a week on the streets. This can happen to anybody, homelessness. I'm looking at men and women and children who had good homes, good jobs, decent people, and overnight, and maybe over 2 or 3 nights, the banks was on top of them, their homes was repossessed, they lost their jobs, bingo, they were up at Park Gate Street, registered in the homeless services.
Yeah, yeah.
And nobody ever thought that could happen. That can happen to me, Mark, tomorrow. Yeah. Or anybody. So let's not be pointing fingers at areas that's disadvantaged, which I detest the title.
Yeah.
There are families, I saw the weekend in my own constituency, Liberty House, Ballybock and Shamrock Derm Street, where there was terrific Halloween parties for kids and the mammies and daddies partook. Terrific areas, decent people. The same at Ballymun, Coolock and Belcamp, and indeed Crumlin and
Finglas.
Ballyfermot.
Yeah.
That's my line on that.
Yeah, absolutely, and as you say, good, decent, hard-working people. I mean, like yourself, I grew up in Finglas, and, you know, absolutely wonderful, decent, hard-working people. Lots of them with a heart of gold. Always happy to give a handout to everybody. But I wonder, kind of conversely, when these areas, does that kind of play into it? And you mentioned, you know, the awful tragedy out in...
Carrick Mines
and what developed when they tried to rehouse those poor people.
Yeah.
Would have been a consideration that when this decision was being made, if we had announced we're going to put 50 of these in Clontarf, we're going to put 50 of them in Fox Rock, would that... Whereas in the areas that you picked, you say good, honest, hard, working class people, great hearts, welcome them with open arms, you know, people are going to have them on. Is that actually what makes the decision easier to pick them rather than go to these other areas where you might expect you're going to get people are going to say, oh no, not here?
Well, Mark, you know, I would be the first to say people of that calibre are hypocrites. And I don't have a problem if Clontarf or any affluent areas are identified. It's no problem to me. Here's what matters to me. And for 2 years, we've been beating this drum. I've had more meetings with Alan Kelly. I've had more meetings with senior management. I've sat out. I've worked 5 nights a week in homelessness. Mm-hmm. I'm the chairman of a homeless group. I'm listening to people day and night saying it's terrible what's happening with homeless people. It's terrible for people in B&Bs. Mm-hmm. It's terrible for people in hotels. Let's do something. And I welcomed a full page in the media last week, I think it was the Evening Herald, in fairness to them, and they spoke to residents in all of those areas that you just mentioned, the working class areas, and in one particular area, I think it was Finglas, I may be wrong now, where they said, we can't wait for them to come in, we welcome it.
Yeah.
Ballymun was the same, and I know there's a co-op there, and they're after cooperating, the co-op personnel group, after cooperating with the city manager in relation to the modular homes.
Yeah.
And the same I saw in the paper with people in Sherry Orchard saying, we're delighted, we welcome it. You see, there's the few moaners who has a roof maybe, and maybe things are going well, but it doesn't always last. That can collapse in the space of moments.
Yeah, and just for anybody listening, I just want to clarify, I mentioned Clontarf and Fox Rock purely as example. I'm by no means trying to say that the people in any of those areas would be opposed to any of these.
No, they wouldn't.
Just by
and,
way
you
of...
know, that's what, yeah. Last week I identified at the meeting two places, semi-state, UCD and indeed RTE, through Cold Water on it, I understand, through it in our councillor Chris Andrews, he wrote to them and asked them. And the Archbishop, who I have to say I hold in high regard, because during the homeless crisis and the death of Jonathan Corrie last year, the Archbishop was a major player with me as Lord Mayor when we were trying to identify and try to resolve the issue. We're out there trying to resolve it, Mark. We won't always get it right, but I'll tell you what, we're open, I'm open to any man or woman or group who have suggestions on how to resolve the appalling situation of 1,300 children this morning as you and I talk in B&Bs and hotels and travelling from Bray to Donamead and travelling from Nace Road to Stanhope Street. That has to have a damaging effect, Mark, on your education and on your lifestyle.
Destroy it. Just on, you know, as these modular homes now, and as you say, they're a temporary solution to it, to an emergency situation. Just before I spoke to you, I was talking to a representative of Focus Ireland, and they've welcomed the announcement of these modular homes being erected and being put in place. But they say it's only the tip of the iceberg. There's lots of other areas where we need to, government needs to be legislating, and we need to be tackling. Rents, of course, as we know, just keep skyrocketing, stuff like that. Are you hopeful that, you know, right, we have a situation now where we can help these people get out of awful situations, hotels and B&Bs, but are you also hopeful that this is an indication that government and councils are taking seriously the whole area of rent and the whole rental market, and they need to legislate to put an end to this? Because, you know, 153 modular homes or 500 or whatever of them, if we don't address the symptoms of the disease isn't going to go away.
Yeah, look, Mark, I'm also aware that there's a general election down the road.
Yeah.
And I'm also aware that for the years I've been crying out for rent certainty. And I'm also aware that some type of rent control has to be introduced. Now, I know that there are some politicians at a senior level who believe you can't do that because you'll drive the market up. Look, at the end of the day, most of the families I'm representing came out of rented accommodation where the landlord would come along and say, I'm putting up the rent next week by an extra 500. If you haven't got it, you're out.
Yeah.
And we have to address that. And there has to be also an increase in the rent supplement. And what's needed is this, Mark. I'm sick listening to the Minister talking about the $3.2 billion he has for social housing.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't seen a stone torn in the development of social housing. And that's what's needed. And you're dead right. 150 modular homes is the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
We need to be building the Merinos, the Cabras, the Ballyfermot, and the East Falls. We need to be building estates like that. We've done it in the 40s and the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And why can't we do it again? We need to be able to have all the voids, which I understand DCC will have complete by the end of the year. We need to take back what NAMA has, that suitable, adequate accommodation. No point in taking back inadequate accommodation.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be serious with the Minister coming out to redevelop the likes of Croke Villas, O'Devney Gardens and Dominic Street.
Yeah.
And let's get on with it and stop this PR and shadow boxing with Michael Noonan. He said, she said, give up the Lanigan's ball and let's get on with it. And build, and have a rent certainty and ask landlords, put in some type of legislation that there'll be no evictions in relation to increasing in rents for the next 3 to 5 years to allow the social housing programme take place. Because some landlords, not them all, some, are taking advantage. In my own constituency, 6 to 8 people were evicted from one particular landlord who took advantage of a notice she got at the carry out works by the Environmental Health Section of DCC. She attached that notice to a handwritten letter, told the tenants to go out, and bless them, they all walked out through fear.
Yeah.
That's scrupulous landlordism.
Yeah, that's it. And it's a question I asked of the chap in Focus Ireland, just talking to Rowan, and I'll ask you the same. These families, you know, we put them in B&Bs, we put them in hotels as a temporary measure. We're putting them in modular homes as a temporary measure. There doesn't seem to be any kind of political will to ask the landlords to take any sort of temporary measure. Let's put in rent certainty or rent control for 2 years as a temporary measure.
Exactly.
So again, this is what I think makes a lot of people angry. you know, the victims are always the ones who are asked to take the temporary measures, to take the emergency measures. And you know, the landlords, and as you say, there's hundreds of thousands of great landlords out there. And we certainly don't want to tire everyone with the warm brush, but temporary rent control, temporary rent certainty would certainly help to alleviate this problem in the in the short term.
Exactly. Look, I've said it. Call, I hate using the word, call for an amnesty with landlords to stop evicting or stop rent increasing and stop manipulating and illegally evicting tenants for 3 to 5 years. Temporary. Because everything else is temporary. I asked last week at the council meeting that the families going into modular homes be given letters of comfort. In other words, that he will, a letter will come to the law agent to say it's a temporary measure and within 3 to 5 years you will have a secure tenure of a home. And also, they don't lose their place on the priority list, and that's been agreed. Now, I agree with you. Landlords have a role to play. End of story. And if the Landlords Association or spokespersons come on and say, this is that and that, I'll show them proof where scrupulous landlords took advantage and manipulated and sent in letters of fear and people in their 80s. I housed a man last week in his 70s who was evicted straight out of his flat after 20 years. I housed him. He was terrified. He didn't know where to go. He wouldn't have coped in a hostel. In fairness to DCC, they housed him because he was entitled to be housed. Six other people in that house followed suit. One man, 83 years of age. Yeah. That's appalling. So landlords need to play and cooperate in relation to this appalling struggle and this housing crisis, a housing emergency. And by the way, Mark, there's a massive march on the 1st of December to support housing and homelessness run by the Right to Water along with the Ballyfermot homeless group who have organised it, Keith Troy, a very decent guy. Yeah. It's on the 1st of December and the march will be, I think it'll assemble in O'Connell Street before their details, supported by brother Kevin, let me tell you, and me own inner city helping homeless. And landlords, as I say, have a role to play. But we can't, the state can't, Mark, depend on private landlords for social housing. We must have a social housing programme.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you say, we've mentioned it a lot this morning, election coming up and it's going to be hugely high on the agenda. So, you know, we're going to be hearing a lot about it in the coming weeks and months, I'd imagine.
Mark, could I just say this to you? At last by-election, whenever it was, the Taoiseach and other senior ministers mentioned housing and homeless about 20 times a day. Yeah. I said to people at the time, as soon as this by-election is over, it won't be mentioned. I was right.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't mentioned.
Again, we've talked about that a couple of times this morning, where people promise the sun, moon, and stars before elections, that and then they seem to just forget about them once
they promise
elected.
You the deers in the park, Mark, but you catch them yourself.
Absolutely. Listen, Christy, you know, as we say, this is going to be a huge issue. It's not going away, and you know, as we say, it's great to see this move towards modular homes, and it is a tip of the iceberg in alleviating the situation. But we've a long road to go, I think. And I think, definitely the Landlords Association, we'll give them a call and we'll certainly get them on to get their views, because it's a conversation that needs to continue, and we need to fairly quickly make this a thing of the past. We can't be just rolling on from temporary measure to emergency measure to strategic plan. We need to be putting something solid in place where we all
need to work together, Mark.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's no ego attached to this. We all need this. This is humility.
Yeah.
This is dignity and integrity. This is people's lives.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is what everybody is entitled to: a roof over their head, adequate accommodation, and an adequate education. We all need to pull together, not in different directions. I'm ready to be a team player, as is brother Kevin, as is Inner City Helping Homeless, and as is all of my colleagues, in fairness, on Dublin City Council, the 63 elected members.
Yeah. Well, listen, Christy, thanks for taking the time to come on and talk to us on Northside today. And
you're welcome, Mark.
You know, as we say, this is something that's not going away, but it's great to see positive steps being taken on behalf of Dublin City Council. And we look forward to the announcement of the next tranche of modular homes, and we'll see where they go. Listen, Christy, thanks a lot.
Good morning, Mark.
All the best. Take care. Bye-bye.